Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz, and you're listening to PetLifeRadio.com and The Pet Doctor. Today we're going to be talking about stem cells. Stem cells promise to hold all the answers to curing diseases and reversing the effects of time on our bodies and that of our pets, if you've been listening to the news. But they come with a very seemingly high controversial price tag. Scientists have nested stem cells by utilizing adult cells rather than embryonic stem cells. We'll be learning exactly what these cells are, how they function, and what promises they hold. We'll be talking today to Dr. Julie Ann Ryan Johnson, and she's with VetStem. VetStem is a company that is doing some fantastic work for horses as well as dogs. We'll be right back with Dr. Johnson right after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Stop what you're doing and start horsing around. Every week on Pet Life Radio, horse expert and award-winning writer Audrey Pavia will be trotting out great tips on feeding, breeding, and more on everything equestrian. So set a spell and say hey to Audrey and get ready for a darn tootin' galloping good time every week on Horsin' Around. On demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.fidofriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Our guest today is Dr. Julie Ann Ryan Johnson. She is the quintessential advocate for veterinary medicine and the advancement of animal health. She completed her undergraduate work at the California Polytechnical School in San Luis Obispo, California, then graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. In her career as a veterinarian, she served the medical needs of not just cats and dogs, but also horses, marine mammals, along with being the shelter director and county veterinarian for Orange County, California. She is actively involved in organized veterinary medicine at the local and state level. She was the technical veterinarian for the pharmaceutical company Mariel. She's married to a veterinarian, Dr. Gary Johnson, and they own a companion animal practice in Dana Point, California. After all that, Dr. Julie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Stem cells are something that we hear about constantly in the news, and it always seems to be that people are up in arms because of these embryonic stem cells. First of all, what is a stem cell?
Well, a stem cell is pretty interesting. It's basically an early progenitor cell that, if you put it in the right environment or coach it in a certain way, it can then become different things. So a basic stem cell can become muscle, it can become brain tissue, it can become nerve, it could become skin. It just depends on which way it is tracked. And what's really interesting is they always thought that was just the embryonic cells. But it turns out that adult-derived stem cells, which can be from muscle or fat or, you know, different places, I think just recently you've heard about the skin, those in the correct medium can actually be driven through certain factors to become more tissue. The other thing that's very interesting about stem cells, it's really not just about replacing the tissue. There's a whole role that's all the new part of research is coming about to talk about other things that the stem cells are signaling, and they're signaling like anti-inflammatory properties, reversing cell death so cells don't die as easily. So there's this whole new area that it's not just about replicating and regenerating tissue. It's also about the other factors that go along that either coach this or signal other cells to come in and regenerate tissue. And that's really what we've seen with the dogs and arthritis.
What are the main reasons why these stem cells are being used now in dogs? You're saying arthritis. Are there other reasons why you're using it for pets?
Well, right now, the clinical trials we've done have all been in arthritis in dogs. And arthritis in dogs, one out of every four dogs in the U.S. has some form of arthritis. A lot of the dogs, the early trials we did were dogs that had no other options. They had already been on medications. They'd had surgeries. And so it was easy for us to talk them into this as a last resort. We got such beautiful results that we've rolled this out nationally to all veterinarians to be able to utilize our services to provide stem cell use for osteoarthritis or basically dog arthritis. There's many other applications that are coming on the horizon, but before we do them, we like to do careful research so we can tell everybody what the expected outcomes will be. You'll be seeing some really exciting things in the next year or two that will come out. I mean, stem cells are amazing because they just really capture the imagination. And once you kind of understand the basic physiology, you can start figuring out how you want to use those stem cells.
Being a veterinarian, I felt as though I was really behind the learning curve and now trying to get myself up to the top so I can understand stem cells more. I was always under the impression you were talking about these pluripotent cells, the stem cell that can become so many things. I was always under the impression that, for instance, that that's all it could do, but now you're learning that it's not that way. Is that correct?
That's correct, and that's all really new learning, and it's not widely well known. But in the correct medium with the correct factors, you can drive an adipocyte, which is, you know, a fat cell, back up to, you know, an earlier fat cell, or you can drive a pre-fat cell into a muscle cell. It really depends on the medium and the factors, the growth factors, and everything you put in that soup. So that wasn't really well known, and now that's kind of the exciting part of research, is that there's a lot more to it than we initially just thought. It went down a linear line, and went straight from pre-stem cell down to the initial tissue. But we're finding out it's not quite like that.
So it really is a matter more of nurture versus nature.
Yeah, sometimes. And that's why stem cells work so, it's amazing. What we do is we take, the veterinarian will send us a sample of fat.
Why fat? Well, how'd you come up with that one?
That's pretty interesting. This was pretty much discovered by the plastic surgeons. And if you think about plastic surgery, a lot of times they're tucking fat into certain areas, like on a facelift, and they notice that they got beautiful healing. On the animal side, a lot of times when they do spinal cord surgeries, they'll tuck fat into where they've taken out, you know, pieces of bone and things like that. And so what happened was they started looking at the wound healing on that, and they thought, well, God, there's got to be something in there that's driving that beautiful wound healing. And when they looked in fat, they found out there's actually stem cells in fat. And quite honestly, it's kind of interesting. There's actually more stem cells in fat than there is in bone marrow. And if you look in the literature, there's a lot of great papers about bone marrow, and bone marrow is a fantastic way to get stem cells. But there's actually, fat is actually a higher resource, or is richer in stem cells than bone marrow. So,
and most animals and most people have enough fat cells that they could offer some up.
Exactly. And nobody minds losing it. And it's a renewable resource, we always say. So it'll come back. But basically what we do is we take the fat. The veterinarian will send us a fat sample, and they send it overnight to our lab. We isolate the stem cells. We FedEx it right back to the veterinarian, and then they'll inject it into the animal. Generally, for arthritis, they'll be injecting into the joint that is an issue. If it's a tendon or ligament issue, they inject it generally right into the tendon or ligament. And what those stem cells do is they also help, rather than heal with a scar, what they do is they kind of reverse that whole process, and they signal other cells to come in and kind of help clean it up, anti-inflammatory, and like I said before, stop cell death, and then regenerate tissue. So it was a lot more than just going in and maybe replacing cartilage. There's all this other cell signaling going on, and we're just kind of beginning to learn about that. It's all pretty new.
With the fat cells, does it have to be from the same animal, or can you take another donor animal, for instance, another species or another dog or another cat, for instance?
Absolutely. It can only be my dog to my dog. So you have to keep it within your own dog. Otherwise, we haven't done the studies yet. That's going to be something interesting on the horizon. But at this point, it would come from the donor dog. It goes right back into that dog.
Does this require a surgical technique in order to get the fat?
It does. With horses, we usually do it standing. The horses basically are blocked and with local anesthetic, and we're able to get the fat from them. With dogs, we're going behind usually the shoulder blade or in the inguinal area, and most dogs won't lay still for that. So it is general anesthesia. The dog has to be a good, healthy patient for general anesthesia. It's a very quick very simple procedure, but generally a lot of these patients, because they're arthritic, are also older and they have kidney and liver issues. So it's really important that a complete workup is done by the veterinarian, blood work, x-rays, whatever they need to do to feel comfortable with the general anesthesia. Even though that time under anesthesia is very short, it's just good medicine to, you know, cross all the T's there.
I have many a dog and cat patient that has these large fatty lumps all over their bodies, a lipoma. Can you use a lipoma as a source?
You probably could, but quite honestly, we ask you not to, because the lipomas don't have that good a vascular supply. The better the vascular supply, the more the stem cells. So I wish we could use the lipomas. It would be a really easy fix for a lot of the skinny Dobermans walking around. But quite honestly, you can't. We would prefer you to take that fat. It's right. There's a nice fat pad. Even if you have we did a 3-pound chihuahua today. Even if you have a skinny little dog, you can either go behind the shoulder blade. There's a nice little fat pad there. Also, if the dog was being spayed, the fat around the ovaries is a great place for stem cells, or also the falciform ligament inside. And then, without going inside the body walls, there's also the inguinal fat pad.
So there's fat all over. Now, you were mentioning using this for arthritis. So arthritis, we know, is a degenerative process. It oftentimes comes on with age. Sometimes there can be trauma. It can be genetic reasons, like the young dog that has hip dysplasia. And the change that's gone on with the bone is quite marked sometimes on an x-ray. When you're giving this stem cell injection into the joint, what can we expect from it, and how long will it last?
Well, that's a really good question. Generally, you're not going to see a change in the x-rays. And that's why we know it's more than just regenerating tissue, because generally, the comments we get back from the clients are that you gave me back my puppy again, and that overall the dog is feeling much better, increase in appetite, better hair coat, more playful. And a lot of that has to do with it's either chronic pain that they've been in. But those stem cells, besides just going in and trying to help regenerate cartilage, they're also a very strong anti-inflammatory component to them. So they make the dog feel better. So if architecturally that dog had a bad elbow, the stem cell's not going to fix that bad elbow as far as the way it walks, if those bones were malaligned. But what they do make the dog feel is a lot better, more playful, easier to get weight off, those types of things.
Can they stop taking, for instance, their non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, or do you find they still need it, but maybe not as much?
You know, we usually have them when we initially do the work, we tell you don't change a thing and then see what you can do. And generally, quite a few of them are able to come off their non-steroidals or their other pain medications. One of our researchers, Dr. Jamie Gaynor, who's in Colorado, is a fantastic pain specialist. He's a boarded anesthesiologist and a pain specialist. You know, his cases are the really tough ones because people have referred, or veterinarians have referred to him because they cannot get pain under control in animals. And he's become a huge advocate of ours because of the fact that, you know, a lot of these dogs can come off drugs. It's been really great. Now, you asked also how long it works. That's kind of individual.
Yes.
Some of the dogs we've done have been 1 to 2 years out. What generally is seen is you get this huge, in the first month to 2 months, generally within the first month, the owner will really notice a big difference. And then it starts to plateau. It doesn't get worse, but they get really, really good, and then they start to plateau. So a lot of them will like to come back for another touch-up. It's also used a lot with the canine sports medicine. A lot of the agility dogs have a lot of repetitive injuries. So a dog that's constantly performing, they may generally use us more often. But a lot of dogs, it's one, possibly two treatments. The interesting thing about the dogs versus the horses is we get a lot more fat sent in from the dog vets than we do the horse vets. And
maybe it's all that good living that the dogs are doing.
Yeah. The horses we do are generally very, very athletic in competition and very, very lean and usually very healthy. The dogs generally have to, you know, they're companions. They sit on the couch. They're not as quite the athletes. But the fat we get, we can also bank it, which is really nice. So if you sent in a fat sample for one of your patients, we can possibly have doses saved for future use. So that's really nice.
So you only really need to put them under one time, and then the fat can be banked for about what length of time?
Well, I know that studies have shown out to 15 years.
That should last a dog.
And yeah, the lifetime of the dog shouldn't be an issue.
Are there any possible side effects or complications with using the stem cells?
Well, that's what's really interesting is because you're putting the cells, that you're basically concentrating that dog's stem cells and putting them back into the same dog, there's no rejection factor like there would be with a possible embryonic stem cell when you're getting it from an unknown donor. But every time, you know, it is an anesthesia process, so I can't tell you it's not without risk. And a lot of times you are injecting into the joint, so good sterile technique has to be done. But generally there really have not been any issues.
And now the question that a lot of people are going, this is marvelous. I want it for my dog. My dog has arthritis. What is the approximate cost for this? What's the investment you're making in your pet?
Right, and that is an investment. And the good news about that investment, like I said, is you're going to have bank doses for future uses. And a lot of these dogs can come off non-steroidals, which are costing a lot of owners somewhere about $60 to $90 a month. So if you look at it that way, it's generally going to be somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000. And I'm giving you a huge range because depending on the dog and the workup that's needed and the anesthetic protocol that will have to go in place, and a lot of it also depends on where you live and the socioeconomic factors around where you live on what they're going to be charging. But I would say $2,000 to, you know, $5,000 would be the high end.
And if somebody wanted this done, are most veterinarians doing this, or are there, what's the prevalence in the veterinary market?
Well, we started with the boarded surgeons, and we went out and we did training classes with the boarded surgeons so that because the injections are done into the joint, but we've gotten so much response from the general practitioner, we've actually put our course, the veterinarian would need to take our course before they can do a case. But at this point, we've had over 700 veterinarians respond to our course. So I hope to get to 1,000 by the end of the year. Now, there are 55,000 veterinarians in the country, so I'm scratching the surface. But any veterinarian can take our course once they have passed and completed the quizzes, and they can go ahead and start with an appropriate case.
So if a pet owner is listening to this podcast and says, I want this, where can they go for information? Where can they send their veterinarian for information if their veterinarian is not certified by VetStem?
Well, they can go to our website, and on our website, which is www.vetvet-stem.com. If they go onto our website, there's actually a list of credentialed users that we update daily. So as a veterinarian has passed a course or has done their continuing education training in stem cells, we add their name to the list and you can search by zip code. But pet owners can encourage their veterinarians. We haven't gotten the word out to every veterinarian, so pet owners talking to their veterinarians. The veterinarian would just need to go to the website, and right on the homepage, they just click the button for the small animal credentialing course, and they sign up for the course online. It takes about 3 to 4 hours to complete the course. At the end, they're given continuing education credit and able to do a case.
And I've started doing the modules myself, so hopefully soon my name will also be on that list of veterinarians.
Excellent.
Dr. Julie Ryan Johnson of VetStem, thank you so much for being with us today. This is just very exciting new technology, a great way of helping our pets to keeping them functional, keeping them happy, out of pain, and ways that are using their own bodies, their own stem cells to give us a better quality of life. Thank you so much for being with us. And if people have any questions, going to vetstem.com, they can learn more about it.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
One of the highlights for me having Pet Doctor on PetLifeRadio.com is being able to speak to Marianne Dell. Marianne is responsible for pet coverage for the Orange County Register with a special interest in dogs since 1994. I think she started when she was a kid. She is a certified pet dog trainer. She competes in agility with her Chow Mix Fly, who must like doing fly ball, and does pet therapy work with her Tibetan Spaniel Jitterbug. Great name for a dog. She's an avid reader. She loves to read children books also about pets. So, Mary Ann, what marvelous books do you have for us this time around?
Well, let's see. Let's pick up where we left off last time because we couldn't quite finish. We were talking about some of my all-time favorites, which, of course, during this season can make wonderful gifts for the children or the children at heart, even, who might have kids or have friends with kids. So
and I'm one particular grandma that doesn't like buying toys, but I will buy books until their bookshelves just sag.
Oh, like mine. Yes. I'm with you on that one. People having new babies always get a book because I think there should be a book there before the child even arrives, at least one, so that they're getting off on the right foot whenever that happens.
Great idea.
I think so. Did we talk about dogs for kids last time?
No, okay. We haven't. Sounds good.
This is a great one. This is by Kristen Mijos Rowe, and the publisher's Bowtie Press. It's $14.95, and it's just a wonderful book for all ages. It talks about all things dog. It talks about different breeds, what you need to think about before you get a dog, the kind of questions you need to ask yourself and your entire family. Talks about training and how important it is, how to train various obedience things like sit and down, about house training, about good nutrition, the importance of veterinary care. It also talks about different kinds of dog sports like agility and fly ball and rally that you can do with your dog. And for, you know, the child who has been pestering mom and dad for who knows how long now, let's get a puppy. Rather than bring the dog home during the hectic holiday time, this book under the tree with a promise to look at it as a family and ask some of the questions that are in there and decide as a family what kind of dog to get, go and get that dog as a family after the holidays are over and things have settled down, to me is just a perfect alternative.
This is a book I'm definitely going to have to get for my granddaughter because she has been pestering her mother and me to get a dog, and I've been trying to explain when they have a brand new baby in the house, this might not be the best time.
Yes, we've got one new one in there. It's like I say to people who have that great idea, they think of getting two puppies at once. Let the one new being come in and join the family and get settled in and then bring in the second one. One thing at a time, or one being at a time.
Because puppies take so much time. They're marvelous. It's great getting them socialized. They can be a blast, but they are so time intensive.
Yes, they are, just like new babies.
Yes.
And, you know, I cannot personally imagine having both at once.
Or having twins. No. But then you'd really have a choice in that.
No, that you wouldn't. But you definitely wouldn't want to add a puppy to that mix. You've got your hands more than full there. But yeah, this is just tremendous. It's got a lot of fun stuff in it. It's even got a CD in the back that has some dog-related games, bookmarks kids can print out, cards they can print out on their computer and send to people. Just a whole lot of fun and a whole lot of really good, solid information.
Sounds marvelous. So Dogs for Kids by Kristen Mijos Rowe, and it's published by Bowtie Press and $14.95.
Yes.
Great book. Sounds marvelous.
Absolutely. Now, these next couple that I have here are aimed at teaching about the importance of training and staying and neutering, how we need to be responsible for the animals we bring into our lives, for the time they're in our lives. This book called A Dog's Life, The Autobiography of a Stray by Ann Martin is for older kids. I'd say ages 8 or 9 and up. It's a longer book. It's a chapter book. That, you know, might take a little while for someone to get through. But it's told from the point of view of Squirrel, who is a stray, born a stray, never knows a family for almost her entire life, lives with her mother until her mother dies, her brother until her brother disappears. A few people attempt to catch her and constrain her, and it doesn't work out. She's treated badly. She always ends up back on the run until much late in life she finally finds a human who is kind to her and takes her in. And it winds up being two older girls living together in the twilight of their years. But it's a really interesting story because I think Martin, you know, we can't be in the minds of dogs, of course, and we can only guess at what it's like being a stray on the run, scrambling for food every day, but it sure reads true. And for those people who think, well, it's just a dog, I don't want it anymore, I'll just leave the gate open. This is again another one like Dogs for Kids that actually some adults could benefit from reading, because I think there's a lot of people who don't realize how tough it can be on stray animals. They're domestic, not wild, and they can't survive out there very well.
people doing the same thing with cats also, just taking them to the dairy, just letting them go. You know, they'll be able to catch mice.
Yep.
And in reality, these animals suffer so much being out on their own. And occasionally you will have a feral community of cats where people are trying to take care of them, but you see these cats and they're not in good condition and they're not getting the love and care that they need. So too many times people say that they want to have their children see the miracle of birth. And I'll tell them, well, take them to the shelter and have them see the tragedy at the other end of the spectrum. And if you want them to see the miracle of birth, a great DVD system by National Geographic, In the Womb Animals. You can watch it at home. You can watch those puppies go in and out as many times as you want to.
Yep. And I've never quite understood that argument. I'm not sure those same people would have their children in the delivery room while they were delivering a sibling. So I'm not quite sure why wanting them to see puppies or kittens being born is so important. And particularly, as you say, when you can watch it on video, stop it, explain what's going on, talk about reproduction from a more somewhat clinical, if you will, way of talking about it, you know, straightforward. I don't know why the other would be necessary. I mean, it's certainly not, and I give them the same argument you do. It's one of my favorites.
Great idea, yes.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that is A Dog's Life, The Autobiography of a Stray by Anne Martin, Scholastic Press, 1699, ages 8 and up.
Yes. Yes. Well, a good read, a really good read. This next one also touches on responsibility for pets, and it's one of my all-time favorites. It's called Fred Stays With Me by Nancy Coffelt. Publisher is Little Brown. It's $16.99, and it's for ages 3 to 6. And it's narrated by a girl who is a child of divorce. And she says, sometimes I live with my mom, sometimes I live with my dad. But Fred, her dog, always goes with her. When she goes to dad's, Fred comes along. And when she goes to mom's, Fred comes along. But unfortunately, in this story, Fred starts causing a bit of trouble at both mom's and dad's houses. And mom and dad say, you know what, we can't have Fred stay here. He's eating socks. He's chewing on the furniture. And the little girl says, excuse me, but Fred doesn't stay with either of you. Fred stays with me. And her parents, being wise parents, fortunately, realize that she's right, and they work things out so that Fred doesn't chew the furniture and doesn't steal socks, and Fred does stay with the little girl. And not, I love this book because not only does it have the underlying message of animals are not disposable commodities, but there's also a look at how important a constant can be to kids whose parents have split up. And I can only imagine that having a beloved pet who stays with you and who mom and dad both care for along with the child or children can really help to make that transition from a family unit to a split family be a little bit easier.
So children definitely do need something to hold on to, and it can be so disruptive for their lives to have this divorce because they don't understand so many times why the parents have broken apart, and they need somebody that they can talk to sometimes in the middle of the night, and that pet is right there.
Yes, and that pet loves them and gives them wonderful unconditional love and a shoulder to cry on when they need it, and if mom and dad are having a bad time, that child or children can go off with the dog or the cat or the hamster or whatever and have someone to focus on, play with, spend time with.
And that's so true, Marianne. It doesn't have to be a dog. It can be so many other little creatures that are out there. That small
Absolutely.
Little pocket pet that you can take with you.
Absolutely. That can just sit on the bed and run around the bed and or get in its little hamster ball and roll around the floor and make a child that's going through a tough time forget all about that, even if just for a couple of minutes. Sometimes that's all we need. We forget
that unconditional love.
Yep. And I think we forget sometimes that kids in these positions feel like they have the weight of the world on them, just like we farther along in life with all our stuff going on and doing this and that and trying to balance 14 different things at once feel like we have. That can be tremendous stress and pressure on those kids. And Some kind of relief like that can make all the difference.
So if somebody has a child who's going back and forth in a divorced family, Fred Stays With Me by Nancy Coughlett, publisher Little Brown, and $16.99, ages 3 to 6, sounds like the perfect gift. The whole family should read it together.
I agree. And here's another one. Love this one. It's called A Dog for Life by L.S. Matthews, publishers Delacorte Press. It's $14.95, and this one is for older kids, too, ages 8 and up. And this one says it's based on a true story, so it'd be interesting to know the real story behind this. It's about two brothers, John and Tom, who live with their mother and their dog, Mouse. And the two brothers and the dog share a really special relationship. The brothers say they all can talk to one another and they can understand one another. And Tom, the older of the two brothers, becomes very ill, and the doctors tell his mother that they can't have the dog in the house. It's the old dogs carry germs, and the germs can make the boy sick, and he might die. And Mom says, well, we're going to have Mouse go somewhere else. She can't stay here. But what the brothers know that the mother and the doctor don't is that if Mouse is really made to go, Tom will die, because he'll die of a broken heart. Mm-hmm. They have such a bond with the dog. And the bulk of the story is about the younger brother going off with the dog to take the dog to his uncle, because they think that their uncle will be able to give the dog a home. And if she stays in the family, then at least once Tom gets better, she can come back and live with them. And it's the big adventure that the boy and the dog go on. They ride on a train. They traipse through the woods, across pastures. It's kind of reminiscent of that book. I think it was called The Incredible Journey. It was about two dogs and a cat that traveled, you know, across Canada, I think, to get back home.
Cats rules, dogs rules, yes.
Moved, yeah. And it's just a marvelous, marvelous book. And, you know, in the end, we realized that in this case, the kids knew better. They knew that the dog was part of the family, and she had to stay with them for the family to stay together and everything to turn out okay. And being a book for youngsters, it does turn out okay at the end.
I wanted to ask, you know, and what's the ending of the story? I hate to be the one that pulls, you know, the book out, looks at the back few pages to figure out how the story ends. So thank you for telling us it has a happy ending.
Yeah, we don't want to leave anybody hanging, and we don't want people to not get the book because they'd be afraid of that. But you can read it for yourself to find out how it turns out okay.
So the book is A Dog for Life by L.S. Matthews. Publisher is Delacorte Press, $14.95, ages 8 and up. Anything else fun for us?
I've got another one, and this one is, it's a take on that good old Rolling Stone song, You Can't Always Get What You Want. But if you try sometimes, you get what you need. Fancy Nancy is a series of books by Jane O'Connor, and they've gotten really popular. They've just started making Fancy Nancy dolls. And she's this little, well, she's a fancy little dress-up girl. She likes her baubles and pearls and her dress-up and her jewels and everything. And her family decides that they can finally get a dog. And, well, Nancy, of course, wants a fancy dog. And she wants a dog like her neighbor's puppy, Jewel, Jewel's Papillon. And Nancy asks her neighbor if she can maybe pet sit the Papillon for a day so that she can see what it's like to have a fancy little pup. And what she learns is that while the pup is very fancy in the way she looks, she's also very fancy in what she needs. And Nancy has quite a time keeping up with her and keeping her happy. And so when her family goes to the shelter, they actually get a dog named Frenchie, who Nancy says is a LaSalle Spaniel. A very unique breed, she says. Looks something like a poodle and a spaniel and maybe a little bit of terrier found in there.
It's a designer pup.
A little all-American mutt is
all
what she gets, which, of course, as many of us feel, is the best thing going out there. And it's kind of neat because Nancy doesn't get what she thought she wanted, but she got a dog that really fit with her. And just was as much fun as she could hope for. It's just a fun little story about how you shouldn't close your mind to things and you should always keep it open. and see what's out there waiting for you.
And it's wonderful where it says going to a shelter instead of having to get a designer dog.
Yes.
Some of these dogs can be so extremely expensive, and people will go ahead and go to a pet store and finance a dog. And sometimes disasters happen and you're still paying off the pet. There are so many fantastic dogs, some of them who may be that all-American mutt that you find at a shelter who can make the all-American fantastic pet.
Absolutely. And it's to me, it's so not what the dog looks like, it's what the dog is. It's like people, it's personality. And what a lot of people don't realize is a good 25% of the dogs that are at shelters are purebred. There's a lot of purebred dogs at shelters. And if people just would look, they might find a dog that is what they're looking for and save a life instead of putting more money toward people who are breeding bad animals who are sick, as you said, and end up having tremendous health problems.
And oftentimes people don't realize the investment they're putting into this pet. Even if they get a free pet from a friend, those animals are going to be costly in one way or the other. So save your money, get pet insurance, but do plan ahead because there will be expenses associated with that pet now and for the rest of its life. So
absolutely.
This was Fancy Nancy and the Posh Puppy by Jane O'Connor. And its publisher is HarperCollins Publishers, 1699, ages 4 through 7. Marianne, you again have told us about just some awesome books. I see a book that I'm going to be getting for my granddaughter, Lindsay, Dogs for Kids. That one is definitely written just for her and any other children who want to have a dog.
Yes, it's a great one. It's a really, really fun book. And actually, just for the adults on your list, the same author, Kristen Mijas Rowe, wrote a book called The Dog Bible, which is also published by Bowtie, and it's a lot of fun stuff about dogs aimed at adults.
Excellent.
So another good one.
We can always learn. And if people want to learn more about you and all the work that you're doing with pets at the Orange County Register, where can they email you? Where can they learn more about you?
They can email me at mdell@ocregister.com. They can check out the Register's website at ocregister.com and click on the Life tab and then the Pets page, and they can find a lot of good stuff about pets there. And every Monday in our Life section, we have two pages devoted to pets. And we have pets that need homes, pet events, stories about pets. Lots of good stuff there for folks.
Well, Marianne, thank you again for being one of the regulars on The Pet Doctor on PetLifeRadio.com. Hopefully you'll be back again with us next month with another book review.
I hope so, too.
You've been listening to Bernadine Cruz and The Pet Doctor. We've been talking today to Marianne Dell of the Orange County Register with her book report. Hopefully you have a marvelous day, a marvelous week. Take care of those wonderful animals of yours because it's their life. Health matters. Have a great day.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.